Welcome to My Medieval and Mayhem, the podcast where we discuss medieval literature, history, and medievalism. I'm Marcel Losada, resident medieval scholar, and what am I going to be doing? Writer of One Wheels lately. Yeah. So, and with me is Jan.
The Mike. Man who got this other man addicted to One Wheels. Here's an unofficial future motion ad. Just right. Take this. If you don't value your collarbones and you think NAR is awesome, you're going to fucking love the One Wheel. That's a Jan Michael Losada guarantee.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're pretty, pretty addicting, you know, definitely probably going to fuel a lot of Kaiser visits. So.
Yep. That's what they're. Yep. I've been there.
Yeah. All right. So Jan, last time we were talking about Dracula.
Yeah, good old Dracula, Alucard's dad.
That's right. Yeah, Symphony of the Night reference. Love it.
I'm deep. I'm in the Upside Down castle. That's how deep I am.
Nice. Yeah. I love that. Do you want to fill us in on what you remember about Dracula?
Sure. Dracula. You know him, you love him. What a scamp. This guy is a real big dick. So he had a feud with the Sultan was in a bordering land. He was able to defeat the Sultan's men mainly because he's just such a dick. Yeah. He tortures or kills people by entering them in the rear with a spike. He just killed a lot of homeless people by burning them to death and more or less saying good riddance. So sick. Cool. He also seems to be a Christian as well. He seems real of God. Cool. Yep. All of this makes sense.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Some things that I'll add is that this is a translation of an old Russian text that was actually from shortly after when Vlad is said to have lived. So we'll see the ages
okay,
here.
I guess
this is late medieval, 15th century, moving into the 16th century.
And perhaps we can hit this at the end. In fact, I'll just save this question for the end. I'm going to literally write it down.
Okay. Yeah. I love questions. So definitely, I don't know everything, but absolutely happy to look up and tell you what I know. So we'll just go back into the text if you didn't hear the last part. Why not? Go back. It's 2 weeks ago. You should be able to find it.
Yeah.
Once, two Catholic monks from Hungary came to Dracula for alms.
Right. Okay. And alms are like, hey, dude. Good job. Like alms are just
here they would mean like money.
Oh, like, okay.
Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor.
I understand. Right. Cool. Yeah. That's not a thing you want to do with Dracula. You don't want to show up looking for cash.
Not too much, right? But this is what monks do, right? They're supposed to sustain themselves from the grace of others only, right?
Of course. Sure.
So and he ordered that they be brought in separately. And summoned one of them to him and showed him the countless multitude of people around the court on stakes and on the wheel and asked him, is what I have done good? And what matter of people are on the stakes?
Okay, so fucking A. So kind of like he like the fucked up kid from Toy Story is like, let me show you my toys, and shows a torture garden of varying levels of fucked up deaths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. Sick guy. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, he's
cool,
great. Cool. Yeah.
I mean, a little hot. I'm not going to lie. It's a little hot, but it's fine. Yeah. All right. I'm torn.
And the monk answered, no, my lord. You commit evil and punish without mercy. It befits a Lord to be merciful, and these people on the stakes are martyrs. Having summoned the other, Dracula asked him the same. And the second monk answered, "You, Lord, have been established by God to punish those who do evil and to have mercy on those who do good. And these did evil and suffered according to their deeds."
So. Okay, so he's going the yin, the yang. He's this guy seems smart, because I'm going to tell you right now, if I was in either of their shoes and I was just shown the fucking torture garden, I would go, you know what? This is pretty sick, my guy, because you don't want to end up on one of those spikes, right? So you got to just go with it until you're the fuck out of there. And that's when you go, I'm not going back. That Dracula guy sucks.
And Dracula summoned the first again and said to him, "Why do you leave your monastery and your cell to visit great lords not knowing anything? And you yourself said they are martyrs. I will make a martyr of you so that you will be a martyr with them." And okay. Dracula ordered that the first monk be impaled on a stake through the anus.
You know, if you're one of the court guards for Dracula, that has to be a shit job, right? Because Dracula's not doing this himself. He's turning to a group of dudes and going, so you know that fucking thing we do where we take guys and we put them on spikes? Do that to that guy. And then five dudes have to walk up to this guy and go, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. You know how it goes. You know how it goes." And then they have to fucking grab him. It's a whole, what a shit job.
It's not so great. Pretty awful. But he ordered that the other monk be given 50 ducats of gold and said to him, "You are a wise man." And Dracula ordered that he be driven with honor on a cart even unto the Hungarian land.
So a ducat of gold? Is that a measurement of like Scrooge McDuck version? Like what, a ducat of gold?
Yeah, it says here it's a trade coin in Europe, and it was contained about 3.5 grams of gold. It originated.
Okay.
Here it might be some, let's see.
So the type of doubloon or, sure.
Yeah, so it was probably used in that time. It probably became very standardized. It looks like a little later on in the... in the 12th century, so early on. So about the 13th century, 1284. So, and it came from Venice.
Okay, great.
And so, I guess they were like, "Hey, we're all going to, you know, this coin is good everywhere," which is kind of cool. And once a certain foreign merchant arrived in his city from the Hungarian land, and according to Dracula's order, he left his cart on the street of the city before an inn. And his goods he left in the cart, and he himself slept in the inn. And someone, having come, stole from the cart 160 ducats of gold. So the merchant went to Dracula and told him about the loss of the gold. Dracula said to him, "Go this night, you will find the gold." And he ordered that the whole city be searched for the thief, saying, "If the thief is not found, I will destroy the whole city."
I mean, fuck, man. Talk about some extremist shit. All right, cool.
And Dracula ordered that his own gold be taken and placed in the merchant's cart in the night. And he added an extra piece of gold.
And what a giving guy. Goddamn.
And the merchant, having got up, found the gold. And having counted once, twice, he found the extra piece of gold, and having gone to Dracula, said, "My lord, I have found the gold, but this piece of gold is not mine. It is extra." Then they brought in the thief and with him the gold, and Dracula said to the merchant, "Go in peace. If you had not told me about the gold, I would have been ready to impale you on a stake along with the thief."
Okay, sure. So he's doing some gaslighty bullshit. Dracula, King of the Gaslighters, where he's like, he's got games going on. That fucking merchant might be the actual main character of the story. Because Dracula isn't. Dracula's the villain.
He's pretty terrible, even by terrible standards. Right?
I'm like trying. I really want this to be more like fucking, what's that Cate Blanchett movie where she's fighting werewolves? She's a vampire. Underworld.
Oh, Underworld.
I want this to be Underworld. Hot people, tight leather, the whole thing. No, this is just a story of a real bad dude.
Real bad dude that does. Yeah. Yeah, that's not likable in the least.
In the least.
All right. Misogyny alert.
Okay. Hit me. All right, let's go. Yay.
It's really bad. Okay. If any woman committed adultery.
Okay, so he just set off this merchant, and now we're just opening on a Tuesday, and he's like, you know what, women? Let me tell you about that.
Oh, yeah. This is like a greatest hits of Dracula. You
okay,
know?
Good. Yeah. Yep, sure.
Because a lot of these paragraphs are starting with once or one time, you know, it's just kind of
okay,
like,
sure.
Just one time I saw him and, you know, he was at the gas station and he robbed the place and then he raped the gas attendant and then he let the gas attendant rape him and then he shot
and
him.
And it got weird. Yeah, sure.
Again.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. So it's just weird. If any woman committed adultery, Dracula would order that her shame be cut out. So here, her shame.
Oh boy. Oh,
meaning
boy.
her reproductive organs here.
Organs,
I don't know if it's a vulva or what.
Which but. I would imagine. Yeah, sure. Either way, it's bad.
Yeah,
it's
not
bad.
Great.
Not good.
And her skin torn off, and that she be bound naked, and that her skin be hung on a pillar in the middle of the city and the market.
I think, I hate to say this, I think if you don't have skin.
Yeah, are you naked?
That's above naked.
Yeah.
That's like naked plus. That's the DLC naked.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like a whole new level of naked. Okay. Yeah.
They would cut off the nipples of virgins who did not preserve their virginity. And widows likewise.
Okay, what? What the fuck did the widow do?
She had sex, I guess. Yeah.
With a guy who might have been her husband.
No. It's a widow. Yeah. They're saying after, you know. So once you're a widow, you're done, right? You have no use for the world.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
I guess
told you. It's pretty bad.
That's a whole new level of misogyny. I've never looked at the world in that way.
No, it takes a pretty special mind.
Yeah. Okay.
You had your husband and, you know, he's gone.
Now he's gone and you should have gone with him. Let me tell you.
And you're going to wish you did at the end of this. Yeah. And widows likewise, or having torn the skin from her shame and having heated an iron stave, they would thrust it into her shame and it would come out of her mouth.
Okay. I would argue a spike is less bad than what you just described. A spike through the torso is less bad than that. That's a brand going through you from the bottom side up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. Yeah. That's got to be a sharp brand or real hot.
Yeah.
Either way,
smell.
Fuck.
Anyway. And thus she would be bound to a pillar, standing naked, until her flesh and bones would fall apart or become food for birds.
Weird and or, but sure, great, okay. Birds will eat almost anything, let me tell you.
Once, while he was traveling, Dracula saw a tattered, shoddy shirt on a certain peasant. And Dracula asked him, "Do you have a wife?" And he answered, "I do, my lord." So Dracula said, "Take me to your house so that I may see." And he saw that his wife was young and healthy. And he asked her husband, "Have you not sown flax?" And the peasant answered, Lord, I have a great deal of flax. And the peasant showed Dracula a great deal of flax. And Dracula's
flax?
Flax is a part of wool. It's like part of, let's see, it's a flowering plant, not wool, flowering plant used, cultivated both for its fiber, linen, yarn, fabric.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a fabric. Okay, yeah. Sure.
So it's like clothing, you know, stuff.
Because all I know is flaxseed oil. And that's
So it's known for its nutrition seeds, this flax thing, which is where you do get flaxseed or linseed, where you get linseed oil.
Okay, sure, sure.
Lord, I have a great deal of flax. And the peasant showed Dracula a great deal of flax. And Dracula said to the peasant's wife, why are you neglectful of your husband? He is obliged to sow and plow and protect you, and you are obliged to make radiant and beautiful clothing for your husband, but you don't even want to make a shirt for him, although you are healthy of body. You are to blame, and not your husband. If your husband had not sown flax, then your husband would be to blame. And he ordered that her hands be cut off and her corpse impaled on a stake.
I mean, first of all, good riddance. Am I right? What a bitch. She wasn't. So I like that it assumes between cutting off her hands and being impaled on a stake that she was killed. They yada, yada, yada over the kill part. Pretty, pretty good there. Where, and they didn't even give it to a sentence. You have to figure that out through context.
Yeah, and how that progressed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But well, it ends in the same way. So,
I mean, ultimately, there's no conversation you want to start with Dracula. Like, at no point is anyone like, oh, fuck, Dracula's coming. Yeah, hey, dude, what's going on? No one does that. No. Everyone's just fucking running from me. This guy is like Saddam Hussein times 10. This guy's fucking the worst.
Yeah, if he's coming down the street, you need to leave. Yeah, like, everybody needs to leave.
Holy shit.
Right now, yeah. At one time, Dracula was dining under the corpses of the dead people who were impaled on stakes, for a multitude of them surrounded his table. He ate amongst them and enjoyed this.
Okay. Okay. I mean, this is above Marvel level. This is more than a Doctor Doom. This is like an extreme bad guy.
Oh, yeah. But a servant of his who set food before him could not bear the stench of this and stopped up his nose and bent his head to the side. Dracula asked him, why are you doing this? And he answered, my lord, I cannot bear the stench.
Sure.
Wrong words to say.
Wrong words to say to my guy Dracula.
Yeah. So Dracula ordered that he be impaled on a stake on the spot, saying, you will live high here, so the stench will not reach you.
Yep. Yep. That's Dracula for you.
Yeah. And another time.
Okay. Oh boy, here we go.
An emissary who was a nobleman of Polish descent came to him from the Hungarian king Matthias. And Dracula ordered that he sit down to dinner with him amongst those corpses. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's that scene from Ace Ventura Pet Detective with all the like trophies, that trophy room with all the people, the animal trophies on the wall, but instead of animal trophies, it's just naked people fucking spiked in every direction. This guy's a Cenobite from Hellraiser.
Yeah,
like this so. Guy is a fucking nightmare. Yeah.
And Dracula ordered that he sit down, amongst the corpses. And in front of Dracula lay a single stake, here, S-T-A-K-E, so the, you know, stabby stake.
Okay.
Of great girth and height, entirely gilded. So the whole thing's covered in a layer of gold. right?
Huh.
And Dracula asked the emissary, "Why have I made this stake so? Tell me." And the emissary was greatly frightened and said, "My lord, it appears to me that a certain great person has sinned against you, and you wish to give him a more honorable death than others." So Dracula said, "You have spoken truly. You are the royal emissary of a great lord. I have made this stake for you." And the emissary answered, "My lord, if I have done something worthy of death, do as you will. You are a righteous judge. You are not to blame for my death, but I myself am." And Dracula began to laugh and said, "If you had not answered me in this way, truly, you would be on this stake." And Dracula honored him greatly, and having given him gifts, dismissed him, saying, "You have the right to travel as an emissary from great lords to great lords because you have learned how to talk with great lords. Others should not dare to do so, but should first learn how it befits them to converse with great lords."
What a bitch. Yep. You just like your ass getting kissed. Mm-hmm. You fucking bitch. You fucking plain ass, fucking reliable. Okay. I just found the way around this. You just fucking prop him up and he's like, "Oh, I am the best, aren't I?" Like, all the hot version of him I have in my mind is just bled away to just what a fucking, just a royal. What a dumb little royal. He's Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
he's
that's a really good one. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just a little bitch.
Oh. Yeah, he's infuriating, right?
Yeah, just the worst.
Dracula had such a custom. When an unrefined emissary visited him from a czar or from a king and was unable to respond to his machinations, he would impale him on a stake, saying, "I am not to blame for your death. Either your lord or you yourself are. Say nothing evil against me. If your lord, knowing you dim-witted and inexperienced, sent you to me, a quick-witted lord, then your lord has killed you. If you yourself dared to come while still inexperienced, then you have killed yourself."
Except for the whole part that you actually, you're the one that's doing all this. See, that's a fascinating way of like pushing that back on me. But the reality is you could actually choose to not have your like five dudes who at this point, I have to imagine everyone around him has already sworn away to death, right? All of them know that all it takes is dropping a cup in the like at the wrong time and you're just fucked.
Oh,
you are fucked.
Get the steak.
Yeah, I mean, ooh.
Thus, he would make a steak tall and entirely gilded for the emissary and would impale him on it, and Dracula would send that speech in writing with others to the man's lord so that the lord would not send a dim-witted and inexperienced man as an emissary to a great lord. So that's his way of getting ass-kissing people, right? Craftsmen made him iron casks, and having filled them with gold, he placed them in the river.
What the fuck's he doing now? Oh, fuck. I mean, that is the most genuine. That is every person in Dracula's town. Every time they see him, that's the first thought. It's just, what the fuck is this guy doing now? Yeah. What's he doing?
And he ordered that those craftsmen be executed so that no one would find out about the devilry done by him, except for his namesake, the devil.
Oh, cool. Yep. No one, everyone knows what you're up to, dude. No one, you're not hiding this from anyone. You're not hiding a damn thing.
And once the Hungarian king Matthias marched against him in battle, he marched against him and both sides clash, and they took Dracula alive, his own men having handed him over in sedition.
Yep, that's what happens when you're, duly. You know those five dudes, when the keep is being taken and Dracula's like, "All right, men, I need you to stand with me in this final. And the door burst open and they all go, yeah, right there. That's the guy.
Just go
right
ahead.
Him.
Yep.
You go right there. Do you want my sword?
See? Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, even if you shove that sword up my ass, that's better than what he would do to me. So the bar's pretty low right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And Dracula was led before the king, and the king ordered that he be thrown in prison. And he said,
this is what a reasonable leader does, right?
Not grabbing a steak and just
and then just deciding. I mean, that's what he did to people that were actually pleasant. All right.
And he sat in, I think it's Visegrad, but it's spelled like Visegrad.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure it has that kind of spin on it. On the Danube above Budapest for 12 years. So 12 years pass, and this guy's been in jail.
Wow. Okay.
And the king installed another prince in the Wallachian land. So, you know, they put somebody else there, right?
Of course.
When that prince died, the king sent to Dracula in prison to let him know that if he should desire to be prince of the Wallachian land as he was before, then he should take the Catholic faith. And if he did not, then he would die in prison. As Dracula loved the pleasure of the mortal world more than that of eternal and unending an unending world, he fell away from the orthodoxy and stepped away from the truth and left the light and took up the darkness.
This is the only part of Dracula's story I can relate to. This is the only part I'm like, yeah, that makes 1,000%. That makes, go on.
Yeah, and this tells you something about what the sentiment of Catholics
that
is.
Yes, that what they're, because this is totally a story of like, this is the part that's really fucked. Just wait for it. He turns his back, not from God in general, but from our very specific version of him. See, that's why he's a boogeyman. Not the whole, all of it. No. It's this very particular action that even if you were a faithful person would be very understandable because that's what anyone would do to get out of being killed. But you know what? Sure, that's our morals, I guess.
Alas, he was not able to bear the fleeting burdens of imprisonment, and he prepared for endless suffering. And he left our Orthodox faith and took up the Catholic deceit. Yes, so it's pretty much exactly what you said.
Could you imagine? Blech.
And what the fuck? He had like eternal life still? You know, this guy's the worst guy ever. Not under the Catholics, under the Orthodox. It says, you know, now he's getting ready for endless, you know, eternal suffering.
Yeah.
So essentially now he's of the devil because he became a Catholic. You know, before that,
before
he had
that,
a chance.
He was, yeah, of course. Yeah.
He's going to be okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So the king not only gave Dracula the principality on the Wallachian land, but gave him his own sister for a wife. And from her, two sons were born.
Okay. I mean, nothing bad. Dracula's story is confounding in a lot of ways I didn't expect to be confounded. But go on. Speaking as two very single men, Dracula got himself a wife and a royal wife with two kids, you say? Go on.
And having lived thus for not even 10 years, he died in that heresy.
Oh, the worst. Could you imagine?
Yep.
Happy with the family and could you imagine?
And essentially a prince in that married a
princess. The worst.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. They say about him that even while in prison, he didn't abandon his evil habit, but catching mice and buying birds from the market, he would execute them thus. One, he would impale on a stake.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Go on. Yeah. What?
And another's head he would cut off.
Okay.
Or having plucked the feathers from another, he would release it. And he taught himself to sew, and in this way, he supported himself in prison.
Well, that's a sentence. I'm sorry. He got into amateur taxidermy? Is he a hot goth chick in Silver Lake? What is this guy? I'm sorry. In prison, he was just like, oh, fuck. I mean, I can't murder people anymore and make weird, grotesque art structures out of them. How about I do that with animals I find? And how about I pluck all the feathers off of a pigeon and throw it back out to the fucking wild?
That's the worst one, I think, too.
This guy is a fucking fucked up 7-year-old as a, like, I don't even know how old he's supposed to be, but fuck. Okay, go on.
And when the king released Dracula from prison and brought him to Buda and gave him an estate in Pest across from Buda, but Dracula still...
I'm so sorry, Buda?
Budapest.
Okay, copy it.
Yeah. Two cities.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Dracula still had not been able to see the king. It happened that a certain criminal entered Dracula's estate and hid himself there. And those who were pursuing him arrived and began to search and found him. So Dracula, having gotten up, grabbed his sword and raced from the room, and he cut the head off of one officer who was holding the criminal. But Dracula let the fugitive go, and the other officers ran and went to the magistrate and told them what had taken place. And the magistrate went with all of the officials to the king complaining about Dracula. The king sent to him asking, "Why have you done such an evil thing?" And Dracula
Fair question.
And Dracula answered thus, "I have done no kind of evil, for he killed himself. Anyone who searches for a criminal on a great lord's estate will die. If he had come and told me, I would have found that criminal in my own house, and either would have handed him over or would have pardoned him from death." And they told the king, and the king began to laugh and to marvel at Dracula's heart.
Not only is this guy the worst, but he's killing the persuasion checks. He's just rolling fucking like 19s on all of this. What a fucking asshole.
Yep.
Ugh.
And Dracula's end was thus. He was living in the Wallachian land, and the Turks arrived on his land and began to take captives. And Dracula attacked them, and the Turks fled. And Dracula's troops began to slash at them and drove them out without mercy. And Dracula, having rushed up a hill out of joy in order to see how they slashed at the Turks, was separated from his troops.
Uh-oh.
The soldier who was closest to him mistook him for a Turk and struck him with a spear. And having
his own guy?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Left field. I love this. Okay, great.
And having seen that he was being killed by his own men, Dracula killed 5 of his murderers with his sword, and they pierced him with many spears, and thus he was killed.
No, okay. I'm sorry. A guy's on horseback charging. Fucking Johnny here. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to kill me a Turk. Oh, look at that. It's clearly a guy dressed like fucking Dracula, the Lord of goddamn darkness. I'm just gonna chuck a fucking spear into this guy who's running in the exact same direction we're running in, toward people that are clearly dressed from foreign lands. I fucking love that his death is lame. I love it. I love it. I wish it was, honestly, I wish it was a little lamer. I wish he got a cough. And then just that was the end of him. But being brought down by fucking Jimmy, right? By fucking, you know, Carl or whoever, who just fucking chucked a spear at the wrong dude. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, and so we've got, hold on. Let me see here. And the king took his sister and with her, her two sons, to the Hungarian land on Buda. One lives with the king's son, and the other was with the bishop of Rod and died in our presence. And a third son, the oldest, Mikhail, we saw right here in Budapest, he having fled from the Turkish sultan to the king, not yet having married, Dracula begot him on a wench.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and Stephen of Moldavia, again, that's kind of to the north of there, according to the king's will, installed in the Wallachian land a certain lord's son, Vlad by name. This was the Vlad who was a monk from youth and then a priest and an abbot in the monastery, then renounced the order and became a prince and married, taking as his wife the wife of the prince who ruled after Dracula for a short time and was killed by Stefan of Wallachia. And the current prince of the Wallachian land is Vlad, who had been a monk and an abbot. So a different Vlad, right?
Sure, yeah.
On February 13th in the year of 1486, I wrote this the first time. And then on January 28th in the year of 1490, I copied it out the second time. I, the sinner, Ephrosine. And that's it.
Wow. First of all, I'm going to sign everything that way. I might tonight, I might change my email signature from what the bullshit I have to I, the sinner. I love it. Love it. What an end to that despicable tale.
Yeah. So to give you what this is, the story of Dracula has become a signature piece of the Western literary canon, thanks to Bram Stoker's rendition of the centuries-old Eastern European tale.
Yeah, sure.
However, the original narrative, whose roots are believed to be from the southern Slavic-speaking region of the Eastern Europe, is not a tale of love and everlasting life. It is an account of the life of Dracula's prototype, the 15th century Wallachian prince Vlad Tepes, whose merciless behavior as a voivode, warlord, led to the moniker Vlad the Impaler. The epithet Dracula is used in the text rather than the name Vlad. The origins of the moniker Dracula are still debated. The two leading explanations are that it is either a title denoting his father, Vlad Dracul's membership in the Order of the Dragon, or it is a derivation of the Romanian term Drac with the meaning son of the devil.
Okay. How much of this story is real? What,
oh boy.
What,
now I'll give you this.
A lot of details they give us that seem historical, but some of it is so fucking, all right, hit me, yeah.
The earliest old Russian version of Vlad the Impaler's life dates to 1486 when an Orthodox monk, Ephrosine, copied the story into one of his notebooks. There is no consensus on the origin of the story. And so,
it's a single, okay, so we have a single person that wrote about him and that's about it.
Yeah, it is accepted that Ephrosine's is the earliest surviving copies. Specialists hypothesize that he could have received the source text from infamous 15th century Muscovite diplomat and heretic Fedor Kuristin. Kuristin could have taken the story from the court of the Hungarian king Matthias Corvinus, who comes, you know, he's mentioned in here. Others argue that Kuristin's brother, Ivan Volk Kuristin, translated the story and passed it on to Ephrosine. We know for sure that Ephrosine's rendition is the first Russian East Slavic narrative of Vlad the Impaler's devious deeds. Let's see here. His manuscript, Ephrosine's manuscript, demonstrates the diverse reading and writing culture of the Russian Orthodox monks at, I'm going to butcher all this, there's a bunch of Eastern European stuff.
Yeah, sure. Hey, I won't judge you. The internet will, but I won't.
Kirillov, Beluzersky Monastery in northern Russia. Efrosim became a focus of Soviet and Russian medievalists when his collection of religious and secular texts was transferred from the St. Petersburg Theological Academy, placed in the Russian National Library in 1918 in St. Petersburg. So, you know, that's much later did it get interesting. You know, people were like, oh, shit, Bram Stoker at that point, you know.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, all that tracks. But you're basically telling me the answer to how real is this is a guy wrote about this historical figure. And this is what we have of that one guy's writing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like some of the people mentioned are real people that were
exactly
around.
That. Yeah. And yes, I'm, but at the end of the day, the exact accounts we're hearing are derived or written down by a guy who might have been in the court of homeboy of Dracula.
Yeah, and he wrote some other things that still
And
survive, but,
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. But that we are still, if you want to try to take any of this as factual, you are still relying on a guy from the time who maybe he wrote some other stuff that maybe was factual, but fuck man, I say a lot of stuff that's factual, and then I say stuff all the time that is not factually accurate. No, I don't have any change on me, right? I said that today. That is not factually accurate. And thus, I am clearly a fibber and have fibbed to someone. So, yeah, that, the idea that is this real? There, I mean, what I could kind of take from this is there is a guy who inspired some asshole-ish behavior in Romania at the time, whether that was Dracula or not. It's just so much of it seems so specific, right?
Yeah. Yeah, some of it, for instance, Vlad Tepes was in jail from 1463 to 1475.
Wow. Okay, you know, so that's, and that carries on with what he, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and so wow. The attacks are pretty accurate. You know, just kind of and looking at some of the Wikipedia stuff. So,
yeah, sure. Yeah, so it's a story where the details kind of match up, but all the other bullshit, you had to be there, and we are just trusting this guy. But he's also that's so vexing because it makes you want, you know, as a kid who loves true crime, right? I'm that guy. I love me a cryptid. I love me a serial killer. I love a story like that. Now I couldn't hurt a fly. I'm not like inspired by them. I couldn't fathom being such a big asshole. That's why I find them so fascinating. To hear a story about arguably maybe one of the biggest assholes in history, I didn't realize Dracula was that. I didn't realize he was like a historical Hitler, right?
Yeah.
I hear Hitler and I don't think hot.
Right.
Right? Hitler is not hot. Granted, some of the clothing the Nazis wore kind of hot, but Hitler is 0% on the charisma scale. He is 0% hot. Dracula, fuck. I mean, at this point, there are stores, clothing lines, makeup lines, you name it, devoted to Dracula. It is a hot character. He is a like mystery man that plays by other people's rules, and he's mysterious. Whereas the real, or at least the Dracula that is real is the wrong word, but the Dracula that is depicted here is fucking the worst. I would equate it to a mass shooter now, right? I would equate it to how I feel about mass shooters, where you're just a big fucking loser. You're the biggest sack of shit that's ever existed. And you just love to watch suffering. What a fucking sack of shit. And there isn't even any of the hotness. That was Bram Stoker. That truly was him going like, what if we fucking brought hot chicks into this? And then somehow 80 years later, people started going, what if we brought tight leather in? Right? Like, I felt like I watched a part of my childhood vanish today.
Well, I'm sorry, man. Yeah.
No, so, you're not. No, no I'm not. You're not.
Yeah. You know, I think it's, what do I want to say? It's always good to unveil history, you know, especially of monsters, to really kind of analyze where they come from, you know, because they do say a lot about the cultures that produce them, too. Like, even in Vlad's time, you know, the things he's doing are not good. Right?
Yeah, it seemed like everyone, it seemed like the way that, because there wasn't an indiscriminate nature to the story. It wasn't like you got one of those torture garden stories, and then the next one was, oh, and this one time he made real good empanadas for his family. oh, let me tell you, he knew how to fluff up some. No, you didn't get, you only got the brutality out of this fucking character. It's so one-dimensional that it makes me think that maybe this fucker actually was that bad, and this is, that's just the legacy he left, that every room he walked out of, the only thing people could say is, what a fucking asshole. I can't think of a word bad enough to put to a guy like this, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. You know, and he was seen as somebody who definitely used force to reinforce his absolute power, you know, and
boy,
total
did
absolute
he.
Power.
Boy, yeah. Did he. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of the, you know, we don't have, we know that he definitely did prefer impaling, and he was responsible for in waging sometimes just, sometimes unjust war. His tactics were bad. You know, he was not above any tactic, you know, and he loved to impale people. And many people actually fled his kingdom under his rule.
The fuck you say?
Yeah,
I mean,
weird, huh?
Fuck, yeah. Man. Yeah, that would be my first thought. I would be the guy.
Bro,
I would be the
we
guy
gotta get
that
the
I would
walk
be the
out
guy
of here.
That would watch. I would be the guy that watched the first guy get impaled, and I would look. I would nod along. I would nod along. I know me. I would just nod along until that night's done. Most people are asleep, and I would just go to whoever I quasi trusted. Are we got to get the fuck out of here? There's some shit happening here that is far outside of my understanding of anything that is acceptable. So, you know what we do? We just start walking. We're just going to start walking in that direction. And I guarantee you, whatever happens is better than staying here. Yeah, fuck, man. What a journey. What a journey.
There you go. So that's the story of Dracula, man. Yeah.
You ruined Dracula for me. You ruined Nosferatu. Good job.
As
Thank
Dracula
you,
would say, you did this to yourself.
To myself? You're right. You're so right. What a fucking manipulative sack of shit. Oh, I hate him. I hate him.
I
so
only
much.
Showed you the mirror of your true self. Yeah.
What is a man but a miserable pile of flair, whatever Dracula says in Symphony of the Night. That is literally the best I have to offer tonight. That is top.
And on that note, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.